Yeah, like the way you talk, really, more importantly. Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas is joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And she does our financial analysis at the end of every week and sometimes in the middle of the week when the news fits and there's a lot of news to fit here. All right, let's just start. You heard Judy in the top of the or the bottom of the hour news talking about the Dodd-Frank executive order here. Basically, what the president signed in as an executive action right before he was wheels up out of the White House today was to review Dodd-Frank. Let's go back and review it ourselves. This was the act that was supposed to save the world from another financial collapse. And a lot of people on Wall Street, and I think you even agree with this, thought that there were pieces of it that were pretty big overreaches.
That's exactly right. So there were some rules and regulations that were put in place and that were needed after the financial debacle that was part of our recession in 2008. And so coming out of that, government got very involved in checking in on our financial institutions, primarily our banks, and making sure that the regulations were in place to make sure that they were operating responsibly and profitably, and that, you know, there's minimal risk of failure. And so Dodd-Frank became the law that passed through Congress that was approved and that these banks have been operating under. It's very complicated and hundreds of pages long. There are a lot of, you know, parts and details to it. And the complaint from the banks has been that since that has taken effect, it was a good idea, and I think it's been helpful for the banks, and we're seeing them operate very profitably, and they're much more efficient now, and they have much better oversight. But it is somewhat stifling in now that we're past the danger point in their ability to operate effectively in a growing economy. And so now we're seeing, and we've been hearing complaints from bank management teams, that there's an increased cost burden to them because of all this regulation. And I think this is President Trump's way of saying, we're going to take this on. We're going to take a look at it because everything's good, but in moderation. So did we go too far? And perhaps we did go a little too far. You know, certainly industry lobbyists would have you think that the regulations around Dodd-Frank and the stipulations and restrictions on banks were a little too extreme.
Well, I think what the fear that happens here is that if you pull all of the restrictions off, and Donald Trump seems like an all or nothing kind of guy. So if you pull it all back, that, you know, how dangerous is that for the economy? And could you superheat it and then end up in another circumstance like you were in 2007?
Well, I don't think that we're going to see Dodd-Frank ripped apart and you know, completely disappear. I think there's some important elements of Dodd-Frank that even industry participants want and appreciate. And, you know, they put the oversight and the regulators are behind it. The bank presidents are behind it. So some of these things are well in place and accepted by the industry and welcomed by the industry. I don't think it's going to get ripped apart, but I do think that, you know, President Trump is trying to focus us in on a regulation that has been onerous for its industry. And that's particularly important right now because one of the stalls that we've seen in the U.S. economy coming out of it is we want banks willing to lend. And when they feel like they have this much restriction on them, they're exercising too much care. They're just not lending at all. And that was one of the things where we had to overcome that sentiment early on. And banks needed to get comfortable being able to know they could operate under these restrictions and do their business, which is lending. And lending is what grows the economy and supports the growth of small business.
The lending part I totally get for the stimulating small businesses. And I understand what he says. You know, he even mentioned he has several friends who have, you know, wanted to start businesses, who have had successful businesses in the past and they can't get loans. And that part of it you get. I think there's a part, though, that was covered to me that didn't sit right. And I want to get your take on it, Susan. He was sitting beside Steven Schwarzman from the private equity giant Blackstone Group. And he was talking about Jamie Dimon, who, you know, both Wall Street titans, J.P. Morgan Chase CEO. And saying that they're going to have a lot of the input into when we take this look at Dodd-Frank, and you got to remember that it's the banks that sort of got us into this problem before. How much of a role should they play in designing the new rules moving forward?
Well, that's a good point, Anna, because a lot of this regulation and a lot of the bailout that the U.S. government had to do was to protect the banks that, you know, we've all heard the phrase, too big to fail. that had reaches so far into the economy that we were concerned about making sure that they were stable. You know, the government would support them as a backstop no matter what. We couldn't afford to have them collapse.
Right.
So having said that, Jamie Dimon is one of the most respected men in the industry. He's a very good operator. He understands his business, and he also understands the pressures of the different regulations. The regulations are different in between a small regional bank, something that's only operating in the, you know, upper Midwest, versus Jamie Dimon's bank, which is JPMorgan Chase, which really does have an international footprint. So, you know, predominant here in the U.S., but also significant overseas, with presence overseas, and an different type of bank, an unusual bank. When you think of going to your local bank, it's a different story. When you think of going to JPMorgan, remember that their businesses include investment banking, brokerage. So they extend beyond that. He actually does have exposure to some of these other areas of Dodd-Frank that are equally important and need to be reviewed. So it's a fine line to walk. I do think President Trump is aware of that. The industry is very aware of that. So I think this is going to be a continuation of a conversation that the industry has been having and that the national bank presidents have been having with Washington, you know, for the last 2 years.
Well, there were some protections in there, too, for consumers in terms of getting their 401ks managed and their, you know, their life savings managed to protect them from financial experts trying to, you know, answer to their own incentives over the, you know, the protection of the consumer. Right. And those kinds of things seem like
there's a very specific protection, actually, that is being that they're talking about lifting here, which is
about lifting
the where people who have the license to be a stockbroker for individuals they want to change the rules of fiduciary responsibility to
right.
the client.
Exactly.
So is that a bad thing for people who have money invested with different financial advisors across anywhere?
No, I would say that, you know, right now, if you're a registered investment advisor, you're licensed, you have a fiduciary responsibility to provide information to your client, and this is the prudent man rule. They're trying to make sure that the person who's providing the advice is acting in the best interest of the client in whatever circumstance. And so there was some legislation that had passed in the last year that was going to change how that was monitored and what sort of regulations and what sort of certifications were required, depending on who was selling the product. And so I think what this is pertaining to right now, it got very complicated, but what this is pertaining to right now is making sure that there's full disclosure to the consumer so they understand. And obviously, we want to make sure these are people's finances. This is their retirement income. This is their retirement savings account. This is very important. We want to make sure that that's protected and they understand what they're getting. And so I think this is driving towards making sure that there's full and fair disclosure to all the products that are sold without putting on extra restriction on licensing. If we go too far with licensing, it can get onerous because then no one can talk about the product. At the same time, we want to make sure that people who are in a less populated area, et cetera, have the ability to get that information from someone.
Yeah.
And so there's a fine line to walk there. We want to make sure that that's fair. Most importantly, and I think the focus is turning to, let's make sure it's full and fair disclosure, and then we'll worry about, you know, appropriate licensing, et cetera, which was largely thought to be in place already.
Yeah. Well, that one gives me a little bit of pause because I do know how I've limited experience in this, but I do have some, and I've seen some things that I would certainly, I would like to make sure that people who are doing this kind of work that are registered financial advisors are doing it appropriately, and they're not cuffing stuff for themselves or for the product line as opposed to the consumer, because the consumer relies on them. The customer relies on them to
Absolutely.
Know what they're talking about and to rely
right.
on the information they're being given. All right, very quickly, cool. 277,000 jobs added into the economy in the month of January. Now, both the Obama and Trump administrations are taking credit for it. Who gets the credit?
Well, I have to say that it's actually 227,000 jobs. And the 227,000 jobs that were added really are the flow through of the economic progress and recovery that's already been made. That didn't just happen because January was here and we had inauguration and things changed. It really is the effect of the last several months. Remember that we started to see the
But Trump takes responsibility for that after winning the election.
Well, I think President Trump is in an enviable position of being able to take charge and implement some of his changes and start these discussions when the economy's on an upswing. Don't forget that we saw the Fed meet this week, and the Fed's comments were fairly positive about what's going on in the economy. They're very comfortable with the rate increase that they just did, and we may be seeing another rate increase, two or three, before the end of 2017. So all good signs on the economy, and I would say President Trump has good timing. This is working well for him. It's been the effort of many years of recovery as we come out of the recession.
Right, 78 straight months of increases. Now, what is interesting, though, is that Donald Trump said that none of all the stuff that happened in those previous 77 months happened. He actually, on the campaign trail about a year ago, said that he believed that the real unemployment rate in America, now he's taking the unemployment rate here, and he's accepting it, that it's down, 4.9%, whatever it is.
4.8%.
He's now accepting that as real. He said a year ago, he said he thinks the real unemployment rate is anywhere from 15 to 20. He's heard as high as 41%. So that's a big difference between 41% and 4.8.
That's a very big difference. And I will say that there have been arguments out there among economists, and how do you measure this? Because when people drop out of the workforce, are they really, no longer included in the workforce, and they just because they've given up, or should they be included because if things were better, they would want to be looking for a job? When you stop looking for a job and no longer are on the search, you come out of that number, so it distorts in that sense how many people are actually looking, how many people are unemployed. So you could argue that, but the difference is not between 5% and 41%. It's raising a little bit up, a little bit down. It's not that big. And remember that the data that we're measuring at least is consistent. So the fact that we're seeing the trend line stay low is positive for the economy overall. It's a positive comment on employment. And I would say that, I think, look at the trend. I think it's positive. It didn't just happen overnight. This has been the trend for a while now, and I think it's a good sign. We're seeing the economy and some optimism start to creep back in.
So what you're saying is it doesn't matter. Let's just enjoy it while it lasts.
it doesn't matter who's
responsible for it.
Bro, especially for you, I think that's what we should focus on.
Great idea.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's excellent.
I'm Captain Positive.
It will make Anna's days much easier.
Yes.
That's right. Susan's very smart on all things finance and also therapy.
Yeah.
And counseling. She's very good. Multiple fronts.
Yeah. We're going to open up that front, boy. I'm going to say that right now because this is going to be a tough year for me, right? I'm already kind of like,
not off to a good start.
Yeah. If you have any other expertise in that, Susan, we'll need your help. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt, Westwood in Dallas. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Coming up, Violetta Podramatic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots right now.